it's not just about the behavior changing. It's about we are pointing our children towards the gospel. Again, gives such a different context to if I just find the right consequence, then this behavior will stop. Well, even if you get this behavior stopped, there'll be a new one tomorrow. You can be sure of that. So it's gospel, gospel, gospel.
Parenting is the topic of today's broadcast of Breaking Bread. Craig Stickland and Brian Suter are back with me. Welcome, guys.
Thanks, great. Matt. Great to be here.
Yeah, we've talked about parenting, and we've talked about the optimism of training up our children to bear certain fruits, the importance of relationship. And I think our listeners are probably like, all right, guys, get to the tough stuff, right? When things don't go smoothly.
Yeah, right? It's such an important part of parenting. And as you walk through with youngsters, as well as they get older, it is. It's reality of what do you do when things don't go right.
Very seldom after I've disciplined do I feel like I did it right. I had the right words. I had the right timing. I had the right temperament. I had the right motivation. I had the right result. Something in those things I'm repentant for.
As we think about that, to see our own hearts in this and to be able to acknowledge from the get-go, there's not a perfect way. And at the end of the day, you're probably going to feel that way. You know, unfortunately, Matt, when the next time you do discipline, there'll be something that you don't do right. And that's a good thing for your heart to be exposed to your ongoing need as a parent to grow Christ righteousness, Christ grace. And that is a reality of this part of parenting.
Discipline is really a piece of love being applied. Whom the Father chasteneth, he loveth.
Hebrews.
And to be reminded of that, that this act of discipline, though we might not be comfortable and we feel struggles in it from time to time, but to be reminded that it's a great biblical principle that we get to bring into our home.
So let's speak a little bit to the importance of it. It is an act of love. Why? Because it brings about what good end are we hoping for with discipline?
Well, ultimately, as believing parents, our hope is that it'll bring their heart in line with truth, to be able to see who God is, being under his authority, and just the reality left to themselves, that's not the natural road they're going to take, and we all need correction.
Just even with that explanation, Brian, you've taken a fork in the road that I think a lot of us don't necessarily take in the heat of it, okay?
Yeah.
And that, I see a very earthly end to my discipline, right? Because I have been offended, or my rules have been transgressed against, or they have placed themselves in danger. But you've just cast a spiritual vision, right? Which I think we want to capture here, because I think there is a larger piece to this whole thing.
Yeah. And that's so important that we don't miss that, that we recognize that there is something bigger and broader and more glorious going on than just this specific moment and this specific behavior, this specific issue, that it's so much bigger than that. And hopefully that can give us courage and perseverance in this road that, yeah, there's going to be discipline to give tomorrow and the next day and so on, because this is about a heart being changed and moved from its natural state to eventually being converted.
We are to be stewards of them in a sense for raising them in godly way and looking at that we're not asked to do this alone, but our Heavenly Father has said, ah, I know what you need and I'm going to be there with you as I've given you these children to be stewards of. I love that mindset.
And it makes me think there, Craig, of just the picture in Scripture. It says is God is the author and the finisher of our faith. That we as parents, that we get to be in this ongoing process, like, you know, discipline and change is not a destination, it's a journey as a parent. And for us to have that mindset that, okay, hang in there, this is for the long road, this is for something bigger, can help just keep it all in perspective.
And I'm blessed in the sense that I remember the terrible twos, but my children are all in their 20s now. And looking at the role of what we did in the terrible twos, and I'm looking at where the lives are at of my daughters, and as you watch your children to grow and progress and take some of that teaching, some of that truth, Brian, that you talked about, and start to see that kind of farm out in their life and produce that fruit. Oh, that's the goal. That's the heart of a parent that we desire.
Discipline is a bit redeemed in the sense of this larger spiritual goal, right? Of preparing this child to know right from wrong, to feel conviction, to be pressed towards repentance, to realize and feel justice and mercy, right? Mm-hmm. There is such a larger intention here. If I have that lens going into discipline, I might not be as desperate as I find that I always am.
Yeah.
And in that moment.
I think that's such a good lens to be able to remember, like even the scripture casts this vision of the law being the thing that drives us into Christ. And this is right and this is wrong, and that correction helps us see our need for Christ. And we get the same opportunity in our homes that it is. It's something that's needed and it's helpful for their heart. And if you look at the society around us, it would say, don't discipline, you're going to hurt them, you're going to hurt their self-esteem. So we've got to, how do we balance this and stay on the right road rather than err towards this place of only discipline or saying, oh, I don't want to hurt them, so no discipline, and neither one will end us where we want to go.
If I'm just the punisher when I think of discipline, then we're just selling short the powerful element of discipline, which when you break it down, actually looks at that word to be a teacher, to be a teacher with what I want my kids to learn.
Yes, there is the punishment part of discipline, but I'm very anxious to bring this reconciliation part around as well. And in so doing, the gospel is modeled, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's what a great opportunity. I mean, you don't get... Well, you get a lot of opportunities as parents to model the gospel, but in discipline, again, it just gives you a bigger picture, a bigger vision, and brings purpose to those moments that make you want to poke your eyes out.
You know, I apprehended one of my children doing something naughty and asked them, why did you do that? Why did you do that naughty thing? Mm-hmm. You know, wanting full confession. And she said, because Daddy, you're a sinner. Well, she's exactly right, isn't she? And I face myself in that discipline very much. And so I see myself. My child just did this because she's got my blood.
Mm-hmm. And the picture of the blood of Christ then becomes the solution to her statement, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And to be driving that back home.
In that moment, you're able to teach, no, Daddy's in the same place you are. We both need Jesus. And this is hard. And this is, but. Praise God, there is a place, there is a solution that we can all run to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just about the behavior changing. It's about we are pointing our children towards the gospel. Again, gives such a different context to if I just find the right consequence, then this behavior will stop. Well, even if you get this behavior to stop, there'll be a new one tomorrow. You can be sure of that. So it's gospel, gospel, gospel.
If I want to prepare my child for the gospel, a prerequisite for them to receive the gospel is for them to know they need it.
Mm.
And for them to know they need the gospel, they need to know they're a sinner.
Yeah.
We have the opportunity to help them understand their need for a Savior, maybe as opposed to somebody who goes years and years and years and never really thinks they're bad, never really thinks they're in need of fixing.
Yeah. And that only comes about when you're focused at a heart-level change rather than just mere good behavior.
Yeah.
You can get a lot of really good kids or moral kids, but if it's not affecting their heart, you've actually done more damage than you have good. And so keeping the crosshairs on the heart and saying, no, I love you enough that I want to bring discipline here, and that's such a hard thing to do.
Yeah. Let's get into some more of the specifics, and Craig, I'll direct it to you because I know that you have taught on these principles before. There are some wonderful take-homes on discipline, some things that should be in place.
There's some foundations that are so vital to have in place. I think a huge one, which we've shared in bits and pieces, but boy, in our communication, right, to bring forth a level of sharing a message. We have a message that we want our kids to learn. Communication is how we get it to them. And we have to be understanding that that's a huge piece of the discipline element is how am I communicating with my child?
And even check in, hey, do you understand why you're in trouble? Do you understand what just went wrong? It can be such a basic thing, but a huge thing when it comes to discipline.
We get really good at using the comma, and we get these run-on sentences that just go and go and go. And you know what? Our child has about a 5-word span, and so we have to be concise.
And that is so hard because
you've
got so much to say and there's so many good reasons why what they just did was really foolish and you want to tell them all, you know, and keep it short.
Is there something about timing as well about when things should be said?
That's a great point that in the moment, to keep it really short, condense, and right to the point, But later on, if you want to have a longer conversation about it, that could happen, you know, maybe later that evening when there's been a few hours and everybody's cooled down and it's not in the heat of it. You can do some extra teaching in that moment. Right afterwards, you just keep it short and just get through the crisis, you know.
And so having that foresight is important.
Someone has shared once that we waste so many of our great lectures to our children when they've emotionally checked out. I mean, it's in the heat of the moment, and we've got this great dialogue to share with them, but they're so already emotionally spent, and their body has responded, and it's adrenaline or mad or angry or crying, and they've already emotionally gone, and their brain isn't really even in the processing mode right now, and they miss most of our great lectures.
Is there something then also going on that to say about objectivity in discipline? And now I'm speaking a bit from experience in the classroom, and then I found that there was some more success when I was objective about, oh, this is your consequence for that. I love you just the same. This consequence has nothing to do with my love. It is what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever we can do that, that is a very wise thing to keep it objective and condense. It's really hard as a parent not to get into the debate. You know, kids are so good at dragging us in the, well, what about? Or, well, that's not really what I meant. Or, no, I didn't do that. And instead of just saying, no, I love you, and this is the consequence for what happened. You want to talk? We can talk later.
But we also want to make sure that when we're sharing with our kids, and it's an important message, that to ask ourselves, is it coming across in a commanding way? Not necessarily authoritative, drill sergeant type of way. But when I'm sharing with them, am I sure about what I'm telling them? Am I presenting it in that commanding sense that says, no, mom is right now taking ownership right now of this situation?
Before we move on from communication, this concept of being controlled, okay, convicts me, because I find that a lot of times in discipline, I'm not controlled. I have actually been very thoughtful about why I'm not controlled. And a lot of times I feel desperate. Mm. And in fact, a lot of times I am angry at myself as much as anything in the situation. And that's why I'm so angry.
Parents and discipline, I mean, that unlocks a huge area of their worth, their value, their shame. How are they disciplined? And the shame or the guilt of, oh, my kid isn't acting right, then that must mean that I'm a bad parent, and this is all they ever wanted to be, and I can't even raise my kid right. And if this is their behavior, then that means it reflects on me. And that might be even a total different lens of where you're coming from, but there's a lot packed into that.
I don't think it is, Craig. And Brian, speak to that then. Is there a larger understanding for parents like myself to think through?
It's okay to be frustrated. Like when you're giving discipline and, you know, you are going to be angry, you are going to be frustrated. Now, do we want to keep that in a controlled place? Yes. And it's okay for them to see, Dad gets angry sometimes. Mom gets angry sometimes. And so also I would just encourage parents that that's part of the journey. Now, we want to keep that controlled, but you will be angry, and anger is not necessarily a bad thing.
You look at the larger picture and to have that faith to believe that, say, okay, God, I have prayed for my children every day, and I will continue to pray for them every day. And God is faithful to those prayers. And to sometimes we just go back and we rest in that.
That's such a great place to rest and have your hope in. And, you know, one of my prayers often at the end of the day is, Lord, protect my kids from me. You know? It's great.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to have those moments. Nobody likes those moments. I hope I don't have any more of those, but I know that it's likely I will.
Let's move on to another. We talked about communication. What's another principle of discipline?
Another principle to consider here is the favorite, if we're going to say it, as consequences. Will my consequences be compelling to my child? Will they bring enough of the concept to their memory, maybe in an intentional way or a way that really kind of gets to them? So they're going to be thinking about that, you know, just yelling, you left your leg out again last night. That's probably not going to be an effective consequence because it's not going to be compelling to them.
I always, in the teaching field, I love to see teachers who are able to use very, very thoughtful and natural consequences. Mm. They kind of administered themselves in a sense, right?
Yeah.
They almost administered themselves, and it was, again, like we mentioned before, brought the objectivity to it and brought down the heat of the moment in it, because it was just kind of like, well, that's natural. What did you expect?
Yeah, and what a great picture if you can just let that unfold. Yeah. It's so easy for us as parents to want to go in and rescue it.
Consequences should be powerful enough or influential enough to compel our child to want to reestablish self-control in this present situation. In other words, to think about themselves and say, okay, what am I going to be able to do in this situation next time? Being able to connect the situation, the consequence, to the teaching principle, to their memory.
And both of you being in the school districts, thinking about, you run into this, I think, a fair amount with teens, is when they don't do their homework or they leave it at home, what does mom or dad do in that scenario? And sure, yeah, go help your teen. You know, if it happens once, bring the homework to school. But on the 12th time, it's time for them to get an F on that project, right?
We've got a saying that my mom will bring up, and she just says it, and everybody knows what she's talking about. She says, I need 5 things from Kentucky. When I was in the 4th grade, I had a Kentucky assignment, right? Project, probably 2 weeks long, you know, research Kentucky, draw the map of Kentucky, resources of Kentucky, history Kentucky. Well, part of it was, on the day of the presentation, you're supposed to bring 5 things from Kentucky. Well, guess who mentioned that on the way to school? So, needless to say, I didn't get 5 things. I mean, we didn't detour on the way to school through Kentucky, as I thought maybe we would.
But. And how that's a compelling natural consequence.
I still remember it.
Yeah, exactly. All these years later.
Well, the great thing to remember is, you know, we look at a child and sometimes we think that their brain is operating where our brain is at. And to be reminded that, no, a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 13-year-old, their brain is going to miss the fact sometimes that, no, okay, I'm going to need a little more time to get 5 things from Kentucky than on the way to school. But that's where their brain is at. Yeah. And to be reminded that, okay, I can punish that brain gap. Yeah. Or I can say, I want to teach them to help their brain develop the skills and the connections to say, how can I think ahead?
That's a wonderful point. There's got to be something else with consequences in terms of being consistent.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's my experience in the school classroom is kids are incredibly optimistic about whether I will pay good on this consequence. Okay. Let me give you an example. So suppose there's a consequence for transgression A. Okay. You get consequence. If I am 50-50%, like I act on it 50% of the time, oh, they'll take that odds. I mean, that's a no-brainer. Take those odds, 50-50.
Yeah.
Okay. But I have found that they are optimistic like to the 90%. If I am 90% consistent with that consequence, they're going to bank on the 10% this time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it is. That's what makes it so important to be consistent, to be able to follow through. And I think one of the things that at least I hear a fair amount around consistency where there's some confusion is consistency doesn't necessarily mean to do the same thing every time, but it's really more of a principle-based consistency.
I think that's important.
Our child will know that when they are not in compliance, their heart isn't right, our expectations and what we desire, that there will be a response to that. And consistency is huge in that. Do we get it right every day? No, we have terrible days and bad days. In a general sense, okay, we want to be consistent to our application of teaching and training for our kids.
Each of your children are going to be different. It's really important to account for that, that one child is going to respond really well to this particular consequence where another one won't. And I think, too, as you grow and mature as a parent, you know, by the time you get to child number 4, you might have some more wisdom, and that's a good thing, and to be able to embrace that. And when the older one says, well, that's not how you handled it with me.
When I was his age.
You're right. It isn't. And give me some grace here because I'm learning.
Yeah. Let's talk about kind of a sacred cow consequence, and that's spanking. It's something that we hear in the culture. We hear in, you know, even legislation, and I think there's a concern about it. How do I do it? How do you do it well? Speak to spanking.
Yeah, or if I spank, does that mean I'm abusive?
Yeah,
I know there's a struggle with that. I think a good lens to start that mindset is to ask yourself, what am I spanking for? First of all, we want to heart check ourselves. You know, am I emotionally upset or out of almost on that edge? And we need to be in control if we're going to use that form of discipline. something foundationally to remember is that, are we using it for accidents? If there's an accident that happens, if a kid spills the milk or something in a developmental thing that they're still trying to get right, are we using it as a response to that? I think we really kind of diminish the effectiveness of spanking. Spanking addresses the rebellion of our child's heart and the rebelling against authority, the rebelling against maybe just something that was asked to them, and acknowledging that spanking can have an effectiveness in those type of situations.
And I would imagine, Brian, there's something to do with age and thinking about your child uniquely.
Yeah. As they get older, you know, spanking should become less and less as the primary tool. Not because necessarily they're going to be doing everything that you want. They just get to be where they're too old and you need to use other consequences. But it is. It can be a very effective tool done when you're controlled and you've got emotions in the right place. And even afterwards, to be able to bring them on your lap and give them a hug and say, I love you. I love you. I want you to know that. And you give them a kiss and say, you know, I do. I love you.
There is a special time in that, isn't there? In spanking and also with other forms of discipline sometimes, that when our child is grieving and they're repenting of that and they're acknowledging the separation right now a little bit, that mom and dad are upset with me and they feel that and that they want to be restored to that, and to use that as a powerful element of the discipline package, right? To bring that all back around and to encourage them in that and to say, oh, I cannot wait for tomorrow. I can't wait for the next time you're in this situation. I think you'll probably treat your sister a little bit better. So we encourage them with the next opportunities.
I think we all wish we wouldn't have to discipline. But in a fallen world, there's no escaping it, isn't it? And then God has used discipline, the discipline of his son, in place of us, to wield salvation, right? So our Father understands discipline. As you quoted Craig, about whom he loves, he chastens. And so I guess in light of all of that, there's a worthy and redeemable quality about discipline our children. And so as we think about closing this topic here of parenting, and to our listeners, I hope that the hope of the gospel has kind of borne itself on the topic as we realize that we can't produce what we want of our children, right?
That's right.
It's not within our control necessarily. But when we find need and when we find that we're at our wits' end, we are going to need the gospel. We're going to need Christ to bear himself. And that's exactly what he wants.
Yeah.
And so our children often tee up, even in our own lives, the perfect storm for Jesus.
They are a great mirror in that, aren't they?
And that's a great thing. That's a great thing. So thanks, brothers, for this. Again, at our website, under the parenting button, you'll find more tools and resources for help in parenting, in child rearing, in discipline, and other things. Thanks for being with us.